What?
Well, I was thinking about, if you were going to be here, what I was going to talk about, I thought, it should be question and answer night.
Well, it would be a question. Well, I just, I need the scriptures. I've been going through my Bible. That say that God is all and in all.
We talked about that.
Yeah, well, I have to talk about it again, because I didn't write the scriptures down.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 5. Get the concordance. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, I think.
And then there was Isaiah.
Isaiah 45, 7. Amos 3, 6. I said that.
Isaiah was the one that really.
Isaiah 45:7. Okay. What else?
And so that says that all things are of God. And Isaiah says that God created evil. And is this saying that God is evil?
If your identity is the chaff, God is incredibly evil. If your identity is the corks, God is pure evil. If your identity is the wheat, God is pure good. If your identity is the gold, God is pure good. If you're trying to make God the God of the world as the understanding, then God is pure evil.
Your perspective.
From the perspective of the human race, God is evil.
Makes you get old, sick, and die.
He makes, there's 50 million people starving to death right now. There's children
right.
all over Africa that are dying right now. There's children, starving children in Appalachia.
You're saying that that's at God's hand and not at man's hand.
I'm saying that there's, if God can, if something can take place in the universe that isn't at God's hand, and he's not in control. The human, hear me carefully.
Okay.
The human race isn't the end product. The human race is just a little teeny step. And the step is, God calls the human race grasshoppers. He calls them the small dust. I call them the sperm cells. And they have no... I mean, think of what happens to this. Think of your husband as God in this metaphor, from the standpoint of you, if you were one of his sperm cells. I mean, the only one that would think that God, that him as God was love, was Ben. Every other one of them would be just really, really furious at him. But look at where he's put all those damn sperm cells. They've gone all over weird places.
Dried up, blown over.
They dried up all over the stomach. They've blown on the ground. They've gone all over the place. And you understand? I mean, I'm serious. That's exactly the viewpoint of God and the human race. That's why God made man to do like he does. Do the voodoo that he does so well.
This would be an example.
This is an example.
This would be an example.
Of all, every time, this is good, because now this is pick on Michael Knight, right? Every time Mike has ejaculated since he was like 9 years old, every time, there's been 150 million sperm cells that have been released. Okay? And
they all said daddy.
They all said daddy. They all said, hallelujah, praise God, brother.
We're free.
Like
yes.
They, every one of them
had his DNA.
Every one of them had the capacity to reproduce himself.
Right.
Now, if your identity, if you're looking at life from the standpoint, let's take start when he's 9. I mean, the first time he had a wet dream.
Well, can we not talk about? I can't seem to really grab hold of this.
No, you hate it.
Talking about regulation is not getting me.
Okay, but hear me. If your identity is that cell, I'm not kidding. I'm more serious.
I am that particular sperm cell.
Right. Then, any casual view of God, you would have to consider God really has it in for you, and He hates you, and God, from your perspective, is evil.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the Bible talks about good and evil, and choosing good over evil.
What the only time that's ever used, it's used in the context of the idea that spirit is good, soul is bad or evil.
Okay, so the soul is the soul identity.
And that's what the seeking of that soul is. Soul cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Soul is the encasement of the spirit in the body. It's your you-ness right now. It's the thing that's given you. It's your. The soul is the thing that tests the seed in you, and it goes all over the place. It carries you mentally more than it does physically. More than your physical body carries the seed, your soul carries the seed to be tested in all possible environments.
Forward and backward.
Up and back in time, up and down in space, different universes, as far as the imagination will take it. And that the reason for that is so that seed can be tested in all environments. Not put to the test for the purposes of disapproving, but put to the test for the purposes of approving. Now, that is the purpose of life. The bride, the new thing. Let's look in terms of another analogy would be a pregnancy. Everything in the womb is necessary for the end result. But everything in the womb doesn't end up as good.
Right, it's pitched.
It's discarded. It's the afterbirth.
Right.
And it's the same as From this book standpoint, from God's perspective, everything that's good is the birth. Everything that's evil is the afterbirth.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you say that the soul carries or holds the seed,
right? And if the best the soul can be is the friend of the bridegroom, that's the best he can be, and that's his type. He's revealed in Caleb. And Caleb and Joshua went up to the spy in the land of.
And the seed is?
Christ. Go to Galatians 3:16. The promises of God are not made as to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. Go to Romans 2:28. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Praise there just means, doesn't mean like, oh, praise. It means you care what they think.
So, does this mean that...
means Europe...
If we are predestined, does this mean that we have free will or choice?
Free will is the greatest illusion in the universe.
So I don't have free will to sin or to make decisions?
You have free will only to do what's defined as free will are only the options of Satan. You have all kinds of options to choose within the range of the evil one. You of your father, the devil. The desires of your father you will to do. Jesus said that to the Jews that believed on him. Don't you understand if that isn't true, the cross isn't necessary. If there's any part of you that's redeemable, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die.
So you're saying if I were capable of making the right choice,
Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die.
Jesus wouldn't have had to die.
You cannot make the right choice.
Okay. Okay, so what about the scripture that says that we take on the mind of Christ?
The mind of Christ is the emptying. The mind of Christ is revealed only when I abandon myself.
Right. When there's no more me.
No. When there's no more thought for tomorrow, there's no more thought for the food you're going to eat, there's no more thought for the clothes you're going to put on, there's no more thought for any aspect of your own life, there's no more thought for anything. You abandon yourself. You live in spontaneity.
Certainly no thought for your goodness.
There's no thought for good, obviously.
Okay, so can a person know their salvation?
The essence of it is that if you're worried about it, you're probably not.
But what about the scriptures that say you can know?
What scriptures? You're talking Baptist stuff. What scriptures are you talking about?
That's where I'm coming from.
I know, but give me an example.
Well, I don't have an example.
Well, there aren't any. That's like saying accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's nowhere in the Bible. No, nowhere.
Well, there are scriptures that say that you know you have eternal life.
In Him.
In Him.
If you are in Christ, everything is in Christ. The love of God is in Christ. The promises of God are in Him. That your eyes may be enlightened to the. Go to Ephesians 5 and see, or Ephesians 1 and see the prayer. It's a great prayer. I promise you, I can go any place from Genesis to Revelation, and it shows you the same thing. But Ephesians 1. It's a great prayer. First, starting in verse 16. Or let's start in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now that's what you'd like to have it.
Yeah.
To give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah, brother. No. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Praise God, brother, you get to know what the hope of your calling is. No. That you may know what the hope of His calling is. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Everything is in Him. And if you're, it's a sphere of,
I was just going to say there's another all in all.
I never understood what you said. If you had a choice, you would always choose. I mean, when you do that in your mind, the person you'll choose is.
You choose to benefit yourself. No. If you have enough strength, if you make a decision for Christ, you will always choose the Antichrist. If you have enough strength left to make a decision, you will always choose the one that will benefit you. By nature, you understand? That's the nature of the beast. Martin Luther has had no small influence on religion, probably second only to Paul. Martin Luther wrote, in a play way, I mean, you understand, he didn't have any computers or typewriters, pens. I mean, he's Kid Quill. He wrote, somebody has mentioned, he wrote 147 books, a huge number of books. At his deathbed, he requested that everything that he had ever written be destroyed, except one book. It's called The Bondage of Will. And the whole book, it just makes fun of the idea that man would have free will. He says things like, and I know exactly, I can feel his heart. He said, "My God in heaven, I thank you that you did not give me free will. For I know that I would never have chosen you. I would have chosen my idolatry instead of you. And I would have never known the fullness of who you are."
But the stumbling block to that, you get around to, if there is no free will, then how do you choose not to have it? You know, that's the old...
But you're asking, you're asking an illegal question. You understand that? I mean, it's because you build the false premise and then ask the premise from that standpoint. Like, that's like asking, well, what was it like before time? I mean, it's great, you know, if you're sitting in a coffee house in Greenwich Village and debating, oh, I think pain is emotion. No, I think pain is physical. But it's an illegal question from any mature mind.
But that's nevertheless the problem. When you look at it from that Baptist perspective, you see free will as underpinning every decision you make.
Well, if you're a Baptist, you believe you would look saved, always saved.
Yeah, but we're trying to get.
But again,
Baptists away from.
Yeah, God doesn't care about labels. He cares about life. God didn't care what the vessel called. Can you imagine? Here's what we got. We got all the time is, and excuse me, I know you don't like this, but all the time is the fallopian tube. And what's happening is we have all these millions and billions of sperm cells, and they're just sperm cells that can think and talk, and they've got themselves organized. And
Woody Allen.
What? No. And they're organized so that they can think. They've entered into a conspiracy so that they've agreed that a certain number of grunts and movements of the lips, they've entered into a conspiracy that it'll mean something, and that a certain number of little scratches on a piece of paper, they've entered into a conspiracy that they'll call that writing. And they've entered into a conspiracy that, okay, if you do well to yourself, we'll call you good. And if you, once every few minutes, once a year, you sort of give three cans of food to your with your basketball ticket, that we'll get a feel good. You know, and so, and then we'll put religion. Okay, now praise God, I'm a hallelujah saved sperm cell. And don't you understand? They're all wrong. Do you understand that everything that you've ever thought, everything that you've ever believed, every opinion you've ever had is wrong?
Well, that's what
that's what you're faced with.
Facing, yeah.
I know. I had to face the same moment, except I had to face it alone. Everything that I ever knew, every value system that I've ever had, every emotion that I'd ever seen, everything I saw was wrong. Because it was through the eyes of self-seeking. And again, a better one. In the first office, we had this great pecan tree. And this was a smart pecan tree because it always knew when it was going to freeze. So all the other trees, they'd come out in the spring, and they'd put a little leaves out, and then it would freeze, and about half their leaves would die. But this pecan tree wouldn't put any leaves out until it would last freeze. And I saw that the human race, if you will, in this process, Christ was the first pecan, and he became a perfect pecan. And what did he do as the perfect pecan? He fell into the ground, and he died. Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and died, abideth alone. But if it die, it shall bear much fruit. And when he died, a tree grew. And on the Feast of Pentecost, this tree was shaken and the earth was filled with pecans. And that's the only thing that's ever happened. And all those pecans, they've organized. They've got a lot of union organizers. and they say, well, I'm an American pecan, and I'm a Dallasite pecan, and I love the Dallas Cowboys, and I hate the Dallas Cowboys, and I like this, and I like that, and I like this, and I like that. And now, praise God, hallelujah, I'm a Baptist pecan. And if I'm a Baptist pecan, I know I'm a Baptist pecan because I know that I'm once saved and I'm always saved. And I'll keep telling everybody and I'll keep making converts to make sure that I know that my false faith is believable because I got 14 million converts. The label is wrong. The label, God, can, do you understand, in the economy of God, he doesn't give one iota about the shell. That it has to fall into the ground and die. You understand? I don't think some of you have understood the totality of what it means to suffer the loss of all things. And because you don't understand that, you bring some of your things into the body. And it takes us like 14 years to sweep the damn things out the door. You understand? I mean, nothing of you is brought into the kingdom. The only thing that's precious that's brought in was the suffering that made you hear a little bit in the first place. It's the only thing that's brought in, the affliction, that you might fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. I mean, he wasn't kidding. If you're going to be his disciple, you must hate your mother, your father, your husband, your children, your wife, your country, and in your own life also. And it doesn't mean just, well, that just means like it a little less than you like Jesus. No, it means hate. It means, the word is enmity. There is nothing in our society that's right. There is nothing in our system of government that's right. There is no thing in our economy, our business world that's right. It is all corrupt. And it's going to disappear that quick in the blinking of an eye. And the only thing that will be left was that which proceeded from God. Only that which proceeds from God can return to God. And the only thing that proceeded from God was Christ. The rest of the universe, it'll be as though it never existed. And I know that's hard to accept. I guess it was impossible for me to accept. There's nothing new. None of these questions are new. I've had to deal with them 100 million times and just in the 20 years that I've been a believer. I'm not trying to trivialize your struggle, but I'm saying there, your struggle is from the basis that it's possible for you to have an opinion that's right. Your struggle is from the basis of trying to take something of the old and bring it in. Nothing can be brought in. Now, the opinions about the Bible, one of the things, I mean, you'll never see a thing happen here. You'll never see us sit around and discuss the meaning of a scripture so that you can tell us what it means to you and he can tell us what it means to me. I don't care what it means to anybody. That's total arrogance. But it's because I know I'm right. Now, I'm either right or I'm the most dangerous man on earth. Maybe both.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no... I have no interest in what Paige Patterson has to say, or I have no interest in what the Pope might say, or I have no interest in what a theology professor might say about anything. The last thing I could care about with whether or not somebody in the universe agrees with me or not, they're all meaningless because everything is wrong. And in every generation, there's somebody like me, at least one.
Why can't you be wrong?
Why can't I be wrong? I am wrong.
But I mean, why can you be clear to say that everything else is wrong and that everything?
Because I've seen God.
And how can you say that others haven't?
Because if they come up with the truth cannot be subjective. What you or I believe about truth is immaterial. The word truth in every other language, including English, can only be defined by what it isn't. Hebrew is the only language that permits revelation. And in Hebrew, the word truth is emeth, and it means not what it isn't, it means eternal. It means it doesn't change with time, and it doesn't change with somebody's opinion of it. Fellowship is when two people are in truth. And the only way the human race can be in truth is by the death of the self. What I say to you, if I said anything to you that elevated me, then it couldn't possibly be true. If anything that I say gives life to you, it has to bring death to me, or whoever is the speaker.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
I like this analogy with the nature and the certain seeds coming about and certain ones dying. Just for myself, I would want to look at the proportion of what is created and what comes to fruition in nature versus what happens with us as human beings and how...
Okay, well, let's look at an example. Let's take any tree.
Is it similar to the sperm count?
Yeah, it's any tree. Let's take any tree, let's take a fish, let's take any animal. It is almost exactly the same. In fact, it's probably in exact proportion as to the number of planets in the universe to how many have life on it, and we only know one. And the same is true, the number of seeds that are released by a cottonwood tree, and how many of those become plants. It's the same principle. It's throughout nature, it never changes, whether it's in the human being or in nature of the animal kingdom or the vegetable kingdom.
Okay, well, if God is everything, which I believe that he is, and he set up this system, I mean, in a way he had to. I believe that on some level he is it all and he was there first.
The universe is made from the blood of God.
Okay. He had a choice in some terms as to how to set it up.
No, he didn't. He had to reproduce himself. There was no choice.
Okay, that's where I get confused. It's like, if he is all, then somewhere there must be...
Well, can you conceive of a point where there's no time?
I can try.
Well, I know, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. It can't reach it. All the highest you can go is to chaos. That's why you can't find God by intellect. You can only find God by repentance, by turning from self. You can't turn from self until you know everything in your life and everything that you could possibly have ever done and any opinion you could ever have was vanity and futility. That's the only common denominator. The common denominator of life is this gospel is delivered instantly unto anyone in the universe who sees the futility and the vanity of life. Because the gospel is already inside them. And it's their death that causes that which is within to be revealed.
I guess what I'm saying is it seems like it's not efficient.
Well, if it's terribly not inefficient.
It seems wasteful, and I don't understand why... Something that's everything and all this waste.
Well, again, there is nothing in the universe whose purpose isn't the end result of seeing these eyes, seeing Christ, seeing the mystery. Therefore, everything in the universe is a parable of the one story. There's only one thing going on. And so, there's no such thing as waste. There's only waste from the standpoint of one that's trying to preserve. God isn't trying to preserve. It's already finished, but he has created the bride, his bride. And he created it out of himself. There's no waste. It's only wasteful if you're trying to... There's all kinds of waste if you think you're the nut, that you're the little pecan, you're trying to get everything around. That's why you can't think in terms of... There's only one thing. Everything's a parable. If you literalize any one of the parables, then pretty soon you'll literalize them all and you'll miss the mystery. Now, what gives me the right to say that? What gives me the right to say that everything in the universe is futile? Futile, ridiculous, vain, idiotic, stupid, without purpose. What would possibly give me the right to get on radio, which I used to do, and just make fun of everybody to the nth degree? You know, it's too trivial to say, well, the Bible says so. Everybody said the Bible says so. You know, the only doctrine of Christianity that's empirically verifiable, there's only one. There's only one thing you can prove. That's the fallenness of mankind. There's nothing else in here you can prove. But this stuff isn't optional. If you want options, if you want, then there's a million places you can go where options are taught. Nothing is optional. Does that help, Penny?
Well, it's not fully digested. I mean, I keep having these ridiculous little questions that pop into my head that stem back to the same base, which is, well,
what about the good people?
What about abortion clinics? I mean, if God hadn't thought of abortion, we wouldn't know about it. So does that mean that God created abortion?
Well, of course he did.
Does he want us
why?
To kill
he created abortion so that we could see the mystery. He created abortion so we could see what the churches are doing.
Not fulfilling the call.
No, they're killing babies.
The farms.
They're killing.
Yeah.
They're stopping the process. They're stopping the process. They're making those sperm cells twice the child of hell that the preacher is. Because they're not permitting the death of that sperm cell that he can, so that the Christ can be revealed. They're teaching the sperm cell to try to imitate Christ. Well, what they're doing then spiritually is they're stopping the birth process. All the abortion clinics are is a picture of the modern church. All that the Oak Lawn community of homosexuals is, or the thing in San Francisco, it's a picture of this new thing that's been taught, namely the personal savior. Don't you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Tell that to enough times, and what you've done is you've created a spiritual homosexual. And it has to have a physical manifestation. Therefore, what do you have? You have the gay community. The spirit creates the natural. The natural is a revelator of the spiritual condition. You heard that, didn't you?
Only where's the scripture about no man knoweth Christ but the Father? Where's?
Oh, there's all kinds of things.
That specific one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
To know you're saved, you have to know Christ.
Right.
Well, listen to the scripture, and you won't wonder about it again.
Let's just read it very carefully now.
And that's because that's where you're hung, is knowing.
Just listen. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to make you think I made it up.
You can look it up tonight.
It's time for Bible improv.
You know the scripture.
Name the scripture in three words or
less.
I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. No man knoweth the Son. Matthew 11:25 through. twice seven.
But didn't it just say that except for those to whom he reveals him?
No. No man knoweth the Son, period.
Christ reveals God. It's in reverse.
No man knoweth the Son, period. And no man knoweth the Father except the one to whom the Son reveals him, i.e. by being in the Son. You can't, no man can know the Son. You understand that? It can't happen because what the man will do with the Son is, because it's like thought, word, and deed. The Trinity is the Father's thought, the word is the Son, and the deed or the action is the Spirit. Okay? We don't have the mind of God, so we can't know the Son. We can only be in the Son and have the Spirit reveal the Father.
And that's just the most frustrating, aggravating thing in the world.
I mean, stop and think. We've talked about this. We've talked about this before. Just, I mean, put yourself, okay? From your value system, the things that you value, and not just you, but all of you, would you create, if you were God, would you create you like you? No way.
Harry, you and Harry, you create dates for yourself.
No. I mean, Harry would. No, there's 4 million things. I mean, just simple things. I mean, the first thing I do is it's to me, it's a waste of time to sleep. And I used to not. I mean, literally, I went for like 15 years where I averaged maybe three and a half hours sleep. Because there were so many things that I had to do and learn and see. And I did. I finished in credit hours over 4 years of college in 1 year. Because I didn't want to waste that time. No. It's just crazy. I mean, but there's nothing, you know, the idea that you would have to eat. That's crazy. Why did he make us like a plant? You just gain this energy from the sun. Why did he make you so you get old? And you have, you know, when things start to hurt. Things start to hurt you didn't even know you had.
This is true. Amen.
I mean, there's nobody in his right mind would create you like you. I don't care how good you think you are. I can tell you, there's...
It's very fleeting.
Huh?
It's very fleeting.
Some of us didn't even have a fleet.
Yeah.
We didn't even make the fleet. Some of you tried to make the fleet.
I had a moment once when I was 22, and that was it. It's like...
But anyway, bottom line is the reason we're like we are and the reason we have the senses we do and are built like we are is that we might see the mystery. That's the only reason. Everything that man calls progress is in truth an attempt to flee from the revelation of Christ. Everything.
And so dying to self that we can actually do is through revelation from God.
No. The only dying to self that we can do is to push everything to the limits so they're either hot or cold. You're never lukewarm. And by the act of pushing everything to the limit, yet the promise of God is at the end of it, you'll see vanity. You'll see the vanity of all things, and at the end of that, you'll be in the revelation of Christ.
See, revelation from God is nice and wonderful, so that would be good if dying to self was that. Dying to self is just crummy and yucky. Cheesy and not heroic.
Yep. No, I mean, the only you want to hear something weird. I want you to hear this. And I'm not saying this. I'm saying this in a weird way, and I hope you understand why the reason I'm saying this. This is going to be ABC primetime, and it's going to be the full hour program.
Which day?
A week from tonight.
This time next week.
And they finished all of the edit, and I I wasn't going to be, I'm in the program a whole lot because of hidden cameras and stuff, but I wasn't going to be on the air as a spokesman, and I agreed to it because of other stuff we're doing. They finished the edit. They finished all of the program. And they stopped and they viewed it. And it's all about all the evangelists and their opulence and what they're doing. And it was incredible stuff. And you won't believe it when you see it stuff. And most of it we got. But they sat there and looked, and Diane Sawyer said, "This program has no conscience. We need a conscience." And so they ran through all of their Rolodexes and talked to everybody they knew and tried to find someone that could come on as a spokesman to see an alternative to this system. And, I mean, I say this with all humility. She said I was the only one she had ever met that had lived what he believed. Now, I pray prayerfully that's all of us. I mean, the only reason I'm doing this is because of all of us. And so they changed everything and asked me to come. That's why I'm going up there. They're giving me the questions in advance that she's going to ask me. They want 5 sound bites that will be the conscience of the program, which will be the conscience of America. Now, that's crazy. From a 2-bit group here in Dallas, nothing, 100 people, maybe at our best, huh?
Sitting in a badly painted room.
Sitting in the wall. And they've got access to every expert, every person, everybody in the world at a fingertip. That's crazy.
There were 2 things.
But it's not heroic. The reason it is, and the reason this happened is because it's been, with us, 16 years of day after day, night after night, laying down our lives for each other. In the nitty-gritty, in the... And the other thing is they perceived that I didn't care whether or not I was on the air or not. Which is... For me, that's a biggie. But what does it mean to die to self? I'm glad you asked. When you are forgotten, or neglected, or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When what you think is good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any people, any clothing, any interruption, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own words, when you are uncomfortable with commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death.
So Jack and I were driving today and talking about this thing that you're going to do Thursday. And it was really the first time I realized, I mean, in my heart, it was just a kind of an awareness that you couldn't do any of this without us. I mean, and really, you couldn't. There would be...
No, I mean, they wouldn't pay attention to me without
us. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's no credential.
You're the credential.
Well, it's all of a sudden I understood, like Paul said,
You're the letter. I mean, you know, I that all of a sudden became clear. I mean, it's like, wow, that's us. I mean, that's all this stuff that, you know, it's, Harry and I were talking earlier, you know, we've had people pass through here who would desire the, you know, being on stuff like that, you know what I mean? And they just passed on through. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And they chased that dream. Now, you know, they're off somewhere or something. I mean, it's just a wild, it really is the act.
Well, but it's the this thing that takes place when people come to visit. Not necessarily in a meeting, it's an ambiance. And no words that I would say and have said to these producers, et cetera, that have come here. It had any merit without this. I mean, it couldn't be. I mean, so it isn't just that. I mean, all I'm doing is fulfilling the office. I mean, there's no way that. I mean, if I got decided, okay, now I've had enough. I'm going to quit. Now I've made the big time. I'm going to quit. Well, I'd be back down in the hole in a minute. You know, and I know that. I mean, there is no me without you. Hopefully there's no you without me, but I mean, it is impossible to separate.
Amen.
I just realized something else is there's no competition in the body of Christ.
No.
And there's always been that in me that I want to be faster or better or learn quicker than anybody else. And that's completely nebulous.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes, you know, when we first started as a body, we played a lot of games. We were always playing something, Scrabble or football or baseball. It was like there was always games going on. What? Now what are you doing?
You finished the story. I was just remembering playing games with you.
Me doing what?
Cheating.
I've never cheated.
I didn't say that word.
Accusing you.
No. I didn't say that word. I wasn't even thinking of that word. That isn't what I was thinking about.
No.
She said it. I didn't say it.
No, that's perfectly legal. That's the whole thing. That's what pisses you off.
Yeah.
He legally clings your clock, but you hate it.
No, I mean that's, it was a talk about important win. I couldn't lose. I mean, it had to, and that's just, and it's just a meaningless thing. But again, that couldn't have taken place without you. I mean,
another thing that happened today was really wild. All my life, I've always done what I thought I wanted. And it dawned on me today while I was driving along with Harry that for the first time in my life, I'm doing what I really want to do. And I mean, it just happened. It just like, I mean, it's so weird. You know, we were talking about how much fun we were having, and all of a sudden we were like, wow, yes, we're actually doing what we want to do. It's great. It was weird.
Again, not to trivialize anything, but it's the idea that there's nothing new in us. Doug, you know Doug. Doug came with a typed 7 pages of questions.
That's funny. Do you still have it? I bet you still have it.
No.
We hear the story.
He does. I bet he does. He keeps everything.
And he asked, I think he just asked the one question.
He did.
And it was, well, he folded up his 7 pages and put it away. Because the one question was had to do with the cross. And once the cross was seen, he saw the cross. And forget it. Everything else is meaningless. Many walk, I mean, that's why I mean, you understand how rare it is to have the cross preached? Do you understand how common it is to have some, the word is turned slightly so that it will be a way in which you can be something, be better, be this, be that. And so therefore, all that religion then is for the creme de la creme of society. It's for the ones that can do something. They can get it right. They can. Well, look, we're, you know, kind of the morning meetings. I mean, we are loser city.
That was so funny. Yesterday, the meeting we had last night, with the Russell Bill, Lucy left. She goes, "Wow, I had no idea we had so many drug addicts here." And I said, "Notice, Liz, you were invited to the meeting."
I agreed with that, but I had never sat down and thought about, we've talked about, there's a lot of people here that are like bordering that edge, and I never really, it never dawned on me, until all of us got in this one room, and I was like, wow, we really do have all these people.
I want to say this about your questions also. Questions create resistance. So you might be tempted to stop or something. Don't do that. Yeah. Ask the question if you must. But ask it really big. Don't just ask some wimpy little old question. Ask him and then go find the president of the Dallas Theological Seminary and ask him the same question. Get a real audience so that it's completely tested.
Let me tell you what I
use. A man to hear the answer. If he won't hear you,
and also know that, even though you may think it's a silly question, it's every question that everybody comes up with all the time. You just don't quit having questions, and it just, reteaches me or someone, something that I've forgotten.
I had the unique opportunity, 17 days after I became a believer, I was on the air hosting talk shows, television. And television and radio for 4 years. 3.5 years. I interviewed anybody they wanted to, anybody that I had a question about, anybody that I thought could answer a question that I had, I would have them on as a guest, either by call them up or invite them in, So I had all the superstars as guests. It's almost like I've played dirty pool because I've already done all of the doctorate thesis and all of the questions that could be asked from a theological standpoint have already been addressed in those years when I tested and pushed everything. So there's Doug was a baddie. He'd bring theological. Well, he did too. He'd bring these theological wimps here that they thought they were there, huh? Yeah, right. that were from Dallas Theological Seminary or Southwestern Theological Seminary, and they'd go out, they'd go running, they'd run out bleeding.
The truth of the matter is, Young Life leaders are no match for you.
It was a seminary.
I know, that's what I'm saying. The first guys we brought were not religious. We had to bring seminary professors because we brought Young Life leaders at first, and they got their little ears pasted. We had to graduate to somebody who could at least,
But it's not a debate. It's not a thing about arguing over words. It's life. That's why I stopped all that crap. We stopped everything because I knew there could be no life without a body. And so that's what happened. I thought, we'll stop this for maybe 6 months and we'll...
Then I'll get a forum.
I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have anything else?
Oh.
Take it, big guy.